Hey guys, it's Megan Segura.
Hey guys.
It's Rachel Roberts.
I was being casual and cool.
Right, right. Like
girl next door you want to be friends with.
Like at the lockers.
Hey guys. Hey, what's up?
Cool shoes.
Anyway, this is Bravo Daily Dish, the podcast.
Bravo's official podcast.
Today, we are talking about The Real Housewives of Dallas, and of course, we're going all in on The Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere.
Yay!
Real quick, now that I can talk about it, Danielle Staub, when I went to her home, what we were filming is her reacting to her most iconic moments on the show. So we had her watch some moments from season one and two. You have to go watch it. It's at bravotv.com. And it, she just...
Name change!
Was that one of them?
Two things.
Oh, of course, true. Of course. Yeah. And Teresa pushing Andy to get to Danielle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which we saw in the premiere this week.
And her performance on Watch What Happens Live with Lori Michaels.
Real close.
Check it out. Oh, and you talked to Margaret.
Oh my God, I did. The new housewife. With pigtails.
Powerhouse with pigtails.
She was wearing pigtails, of course.
Of course.
To the office.
I'm the ugliest person she knows for making fun of her. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's pretty cutthroat.
I was sadly on vacation when every single Bravo celebrity decided to drop in. So Rachel got to just lap up all that juice.
That New Jersey juice.
By yourself. And OC, because you talked to Peggy and Deco.
I know. Her husband, who I love too. We really got into some heavy stuff. I almost cried during this interview and I had to like really hold it together because they were just really open and honest about the experience, about what they've gone through with Peggy's battle with cancer. And it was just really real, you guys. So try not to cry.
I regret it.
You do?
They don't need to know. They don't deserve to know.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it's bad week to pick to be out.
I know.
In Dish Podcasters news, me and Megan went to a podcasting taping of our like sister
network's official podcast.
Yes, Martinis and Murder from Oxygen.
If you like murder, if you like martinis, check it out.
Needless to say, once again, we partook in the alcohol.
Yes.
And I'm feeling it today.
I don't know why. Lately, I've not been getting hangovers.
I don't know what it is. I'm just like, my life is great and perfect.
I'm sorry to be that person. I'm just surprised, I guess. I don't know.
It's because I was up so late. I think sometimes if I just stay up really late, my body, like even if I hadn't drank, would be like, why is this happening?
We went with our fellow digital producer Crystal too,
mm-hmm.
who does not like murder, does not find it entertaining in the least, but and she wanted to be a good friend. She wanted to support our coworker.
Right, doesn't really like martinis either.
Oh yeah, she doesn't drink martinis. It was interesting to sit next to someone who hates hearing graphic details at a live reading where a lot of graphic details were discussed.
Let's just say I'm really happy to be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
Fun fact also, one of the hosts, Darren Karp, is Andy Cohen's assistant, and she brought him up last night.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, we're going to be interviewing her in a few weeks, and I'm excited to just grill her about everything.
Wait, she's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll come on your podcast. She does not know it's an interrogation.
Right. All right, let's get into Jersey because I think we've waited long enough.
I know where I want to start, which was in capitals, me saying, this is too sad.
Right.
To start off the episode that way was, why are you doing this, Bravo? Why are you playing with my emotions so?
I mean, it was also like me putting myself in her shoes. Like, I'm surprised that she's like, all right, you can be around for this, like, terrible moment in my life, which kudos to her for just being so open with fans. But I can't imagine, like, a month after your mom's dying, you're filming.
Right, right. What we're talking about, you guys, is obviously we start off the show with Teresa getting a phone call that her mother is in the hospital and she's not doing well.
Hello?
Hi.
Are you with mommy?
Yeah.
How is she?
She's very weak.
And I think someone tells her that her mom is saying, like, I can't hold on anymore or something like that.
She's telling me, I'm going. Take care of your kids.
And she's rushing to the hospital. It just broke my heart. And then I was like, now I have to just, like, get into this season. I'm just too sad.
I know. And especially, like, because you were talking about this earlier, seeing Joe Gorga so upset, too.
When they were, so later on the episode, they go to her parents' house. And they just are, like, cleaning out her mother's things, and they're going through her drawers, and they find these saint cards. She gives one to Joe, and Joe's like, every time I look at this, I'm going to think of Mom. And you're just like, ugh. I was crying. It was awful.
Yeah, I was so
what
sad.
What is this?
What?
Here. St. Michael. Keep that in your wallet.
What? Every time I see this, it reminds me of her, right?
To get onto a positive note, though, I love that they decided for the first episode, we're going to throw in a mini vacay.
I know,
that's
right?
That's so good.
Siggy Flicka is bringing it.
Right. She was like, you know what? Let's go to Boca. They're Boca bitches.
We all need to get away. Boca? All in favor of going to Boca soon. All in favor? All in favor?
I would love to go.
Right. It's just so funny because, like, you know, you hear about Boca Raton. I feel like in the 90s, it was like a big joke on TV all the time. Like, Boca Raton is where retirees go, or like whatever. So the fact that they're going to, like, live it up for Melissa's birthday in Boca Raton is, like, hilarious to me.
I know. But it's Siggy's second home.
Right. I mean, clearly, the way that she...
Wow.
So Siggy is like, I want to take you guys to this restaurant. It's my favorite restaurant
in Boca. It's called, like,
New York Prime.
Yeah.
And then this happens.
Hi, everybody! Yay! My favorite restaurant in the world! New York! My best friend, Amy! Hi! Oh, hi!
Happy birthday!
Oh, love you!
You look so good! You look different! Hi!
Teresa and I, if we could have hid underneath the table, we would have.
Hi, Wendy! Wendy! I love you, Wendy! Wendy!
I have to go say hi. Hold on. I can't.
Needless to say, Siggy was a little excited to be there.
Hi, everybody! My favorite place in the world!
What was the reaction of that one guy, though? Like, I couldn't tell if he was just, like, genuinely excited that there was a housewife there, or if he, like, knew Siggy. It was weird.
Right. I think that he was just like, oh, my God, housewives are here.
Oh.
Like, the reaction we would have if, like, they walked in like that.
But, you know, I like that they take us to these places because I want every vacation to include some sort of housewife's hotspot. So next time I'm in Boca Raton, I go to New York Prime.
Right, right. Next time when I'm on my frequent visits to Boca.
Yeah. This episode was, I feel like we're already getting so deep because Teresa's starting to show the cracks in terms of, it's not all good with Joe.
At New York Prime.
Right.
Is where this happens.
Yes. And she's saying, I'm mad at him. And because of him, basically, I lost 11 months with my mom.
I know.
Because I was in prison.
Believe me, I mean, I do get frustrated with the situation. And that's why, you know, with my husband, like, I do get upset. I'm, like, very hands-on. Like, I always want to be there for my kids. I'll jump over backwards. So I hate that I couldn't be there because I was away. If things were done right, and that's what I get aggravated with, like, you know, he should have been putting me and his four daughters first, then we wouldn't be in this predicament. It just hit home now because of with my mom not being here, and I'm like, ugh.
And, like, hearing Melissa say that to Joe, being like, actually, it's the first time I've ever heard your sister say anything negative about Joe, which is so true. No matter what has happened between them, she is, like, a stand-by-your man lady. Like,
right. She has never said a negative word about him up until this moment.
Not with, like, the cheating allegations that happened at, like, every reunion. Nothing about even after
the sentencing.
Right, right. When they went away. Like, you've never heard anything but complete support of him. So the fact that, like, it's finally happening. And the fact that Dolores said, if you would have asked me, like, a month ago, I would have said, absolutely not. She's going to stand by Joe. There's no way. And then her mother died. And that's the thing. It's going to, like, maybe not.
When Joe went away, I said, Teresa will never leave him. She will stand by and wait. But that was before her mom passed away. And I'm going to take back the word never right now.
And actually, I remember we were in a meeting at when they were filming, and they were like, wow, like Teresa's mother's death has had an impact on how she views things and how she's feeling about Joe right now.
I mean, I can't imagine it not.
Yeah.
Because she's only been back for not even a year, I think, when this was filmed. Because this is before the holidays.
Right.
And she came home on, like, New Year's.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, and the moment when, in the super tease, when I think it's Melania goes, yeah, I know what it's like to lose a mother or to not have your mother around.
I know.
I really miss my mommy.
I know how it is missing your mother. You are gone.
And I'm sure as her kids get older, the impact is going to seem greater and they're going to have questions and, like, that probably hits her. It's just crazy.
Are you as excited as I am that Danielle is back?
Of course, although I wrote down, she seems really sweet, which is, like, not the adjective I would have used at the top of my head for Danielle Staub when I think
about her.
Based
on, like, season one and season two?
Right, because we only saw her, I think, in defense mode constantly, seasons one and two. So you don't get to be like, I'm going to make silly jokes and, like, be really sweet to everyone and, like, reach out. And I just was like, wow, you don't get to show your good side when you're on the defense. And that's all she was those seasons.
Yeah. What do you think of Margaret?
I love her.
I feel like I don't know so much about her. She introduced me to pot puss spray.
Right. I mean, there's that. But I think what I like about her and what I liked about Siggy the first year, she's someone that's like a real New Jersey girl that, like, someone says something and she's just going to be like, well, that's weird. Why did you say that? Like,
right.
She's just going to, she doesn't take anybody's shit.
Yeah.
She's very much like, I'm a straight shooter. This is what I'm saying. And I'm going to, but I'm also going to, like, if you offend me, I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna call you out on, like, you being ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that.
Right. I just think it's crazy that Siggy brought her into the group. There's always someone that brings you into the group. And already we're seeing Margaret kind of be like, I'm gonna need you to turn it down a notch.
Yeah.
And then, like, she thought she was overreacting to something else. So
classy. I mean, seriously.
I don't know. I'm curious
and
to
then
see.
The episode ends with Siggy saying "fuck you" to her.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, which I was like, is that a joke or no?
Right. I don't know because, but also I feel like, and I might be reading into this too much. I haven't watched any other episode yet. Everyone in interview seems to be a little harsh on Siggy, which I don't know if that
means
that there's, like, tensions.
Yeah.
Later on or that, but I feel like everyone seems to be a little, like, she's a little over the top, or, like, everyone seemed to have a little kind of, like, about Siggy. More so than I think in last season.
I really want to circle back on the pot puss spray.
Right, we glossed over it too much.
Okay, because I did some research, and basically there's, like, it's the brand that does it. And
okay.
It's cannabis-infused lubricant for your vagina.
Uh-huh. Marinate for 20 minutes.
Right. Beauty editors, like, from so many magazines reviewed it and were like, it was amazing.
Really?
Like, it really intensified orgasms and...
Right. So, pot puss. I also love how, like, wears her heart on her sleeve as she is about her marriage.
Right, that, like, she left her husband for the contractor.
Mm-hmm. And, like, is not ashamed of it. So she's just like, we were meant to be together. My marriage was not in a good place. And, like, at the end of the day, it's my life and it's the rest of my life. And I'm going to be happy.
I got divorced. My ex-husband and I were growing apart.
How long were you married?
17 years. It was a big scandal in town. I did run away with the contractor. It was
you
true.
Did? Yeah.
No. We were meant to be together.
Crazy.
I know. I also love her mother.
Marge.
Marge Sr.
Apparently we're going to see a lot more of Marge this season.
That's all I wanted you to say, because she seems to be a character going on dates. So we're in Boca. Danielle Staub is there, who I think is not going to get on with Marge, by the way, or Margaret.
Interesting.
Just first of all, based on the super tease, and then also tonight, I felt like Danielle was kind of ribbing her before you get to know someone, and sometimes that can like really rub people the wrong way. So I'm interested to see how that relationship develops.
Yes, yes, yes.
I love seeing Teresa and Melissa be like kind of like sisterly together, like making fun of each other.
I know, and even like dredging up some what were probably at the time very tumultuous memories.
Right, because Joe didn't talk to his fiance for 3 weeks.
Right.
This is very different for Teresa. She never shows any type of anger that she has towards her husband, towards what's happened. So to hear her say it out loud for me is like, wow.
Which is crazy to me because Melissa basically brings up the story about how at her bachelorette she was dancing with this guy and Teresa.
Joey.
I told my brother that she was dancing with some guy.
Oh, who goes to their brother and says, oh, Joey, when oh we were God. At the bachelorette party, your wife, she was dancing with a guy the whole time.
Your fiance was dancing with a guy. Yeah, which made me really happy that she was doing that. Clearly, that whole thing made me be like, it's Melissa's birthday. I think she might be a little drunk.
Oh, yeah. I love drunk Melissa.
So that leads me to the cake moment.
Right. So I guess we should set the scene. This isn't an ordinary cake. As Siggy tells us, specialty ordered. She had Melissa in mind when she was crafting the concept with the baker. Like she wanted the wallpaper and envy to be put on the cake. And very
thoughtful. Like,
thoughtful, detail, expensive.
So Melissa goes to like blow out the candles and again like kind of makes fun of Teresa. And then Teresa takes like a glob of the cake and hurls it at Melissa. And then they get into a food fight with the cake. And Siggy like is not having it. Like any silliness of it, she's not a part of. Like she just thinks it's them being ridiculous and disrespectful.
It's my birthday, you bitch!
Teresa, what is wrong with you?
Right, and the cake ends up on the floor, like face down.
They literally throw it across. They're not inside, they're outside, but across like the way at each other.
So,
which I thought it was like a funny moment. But, like, I can't read the vibe. I don't know.
Yeah, I just know that it's going to continue into next week's episode.
And that's when Margaret tells Siggy to kind of, like, take it down a notch. And when Siggy says, f*** you. But I actually got to talk to Margaret about all of this. So here's that interview. Hey, everyone. I'm Rachel, and I'm here with Margaret Josephs from the New Jersey Housewives.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am so excited because you are here in your signature pigtails.
I always am rocking the pigtails.
I was like, I wonder if she'll have them, and of course you do.
Of course.
How did you land on having a signature hairstyle?
You know what? I didn't realize it was so signature till everybody started commenting. I worn pigtails as a little girl, gave it up for a little while, then came back to them. Because, you know, I did realize they were disarming and charming. And I'd walk into a room and everyone's like, who's that ditzy blonde? And then, you know, I would just totally take over a business meeting. You always exceed expectations when people underestimate you.
Right.
And to be honest, they're very easy. They're easy to put in the morning, you know, and they just work. They work. And everybody, you know, finds a girl in pigtails bangable. What are you going to do?
Oh my God, all of those reasons are amazing. I always find I have a hard time finding the part and putting them in.
Yeah. My hair's short though, so it just works. I'm so used to it, right? I don't even need a mirror.
Right. So you're on The Real Housewives of New Jersey now.
Yes, I am. Exciting.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into? Had you watched before?
Yes, I have watched before. And I figured, you know what? My life is always a reality series since birth. So I said, why not? I'm turning 50. I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. You know, had a business, pulled myself up by the bootstraps, taken some hits on my second husband. And it's a great way to, you know, reinvent myself and show the world, you know, I didn't make it on my own. It's inspiring to women, and we're all strong women, so I thought it would be a lot of fun.
That's amazing. Did you get along with everyone you thought you were going to get along with? Were there any surprises?
Actually, I thought grown women, how is it possible that they could really fight? But it's really real. And I don't get along with everybody I thought I would get along with. I don't get along with everybody I thought I'd get along with. And the people I thought possibly, you know, I was afraid to meet, such as Danielle, you know, because she was on the comeback. And, I only knew her from season one and two, is the loveliest woman I've ever met. She's therapeutic and we're so close and we eat dinner all the time. And she brings me chicken soup when I'm sick. So, you never know. Don't judge a book by their cover, like from what you've seen before. And yeah, it's been crazy.
So you said you were surprised that everybody really does, the drama really does happen that way.
Yes, it really does happen that way. Nothing is scripted. I don't care what anyone says. This is all real, real emotion. You throw strong personalities into a room. People have difference of opinion. Emotions run high. And there's a combustion. And mm-hmm. I say, I think I brought a different element. I bring the fun into dysfunction. I like to diffuse the situation with humor. Some people don't take well to that. I'm shocked. I mean, my family always seem to like it, when I make fun of them when they're, acting crazy. It's been very interesting.
Yeah, I was watching the first episode and my co-host isn't here. She's on vacation in Costa Rica. But
that's nice.
Her.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But I turned to her and I was like, I think Margaret is such a great addition because right away you just say it like it is and you don't hold back and like it's just like you fell into the fold so well. Did you feel intimidated at all or did you feel like you fit right in?
Oh, thank you. I felt, because I'm used to working with women, I work on a team of women. I felt, of course the first few minutes of meeting, when Siggy introduced me to the ladies, of course I was a little bit nervous, but I felt like I fit right in. It was very organic. Everybody was so welcoming and open and interesting and interested. They were interested about me. So I felt I fit right in and I felt, we're grown adults. We've all been through it. I felt like I could give my opinion and it would be well received. Obviously not well received by everybody, but, it went from there. But I felt very comfortable with the ladies.
Who isn't it getting well received by?
I think Siggy a little bit was a little upset with me. I think she felt because we're from the same town and we know each other. I think she thought we'd be more bonded. But she's a lovely person. I think she's hilarious. She is just a little more over the top than I am. And so, of course, I make a few sarcastic comments. I think she took them very to heart, which normally, everybody else wouldn't. Everybody else I know is very used to my, snide comments. And I think she took them very seriously. I'm the ugliest person she knows for making fun of her. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty cutthroat.
Yes.
Ugliest person she ever met. You saw my face.
I can attest, not ugly at all.
Oh, thank you. You're a doll. Thank you.
Speaking of Siggy, so you guys are from the same town and that's how you know each other?
Yes. Yes. We have a mutual friend, Jody Goldberg, who actually works for me, who's one of Siggy's closest friends. And she introduced us. And, I always thought Siggy was great. Did we have dinner together? We've had lunch together before, not really dinner, never socialized at couples, but we've been at some events together. And I think we've always admired each other. And I always was very impressed by her. So, it was very natural for her to say, hey, come meet us. I was at one of her events. But I think we've never knew each other's real soul in the way we were. I mean, the way she is the way she really is in town. I mean, she'd go into a restaurant screaming on the top of her lungs. I mean, would I be cringing in town? Of course. But, full infiltration, 24 hours a day, it was a little painful.
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to talk about the pot puss.
Ooh, the pot puss.
Because my co-host, I was talking to her about the episode and she looked it up, tried to find where she could buy it, she can't.
Foria. It's called Foria.
Okay.
I lingoed it pot puss because it's.
You should be on their marketing.
I know. By the way, I should be their spokesperson.
Seriously.
I mean, my husband's like, I cannot believe you discussed that. Disclosed all our family secrets right away. Actually, Jody Goldberg, again, her name comes up. She called me up one day and was like, Marg, you have got to get this. It's this, you know, spray for your puss, you know. You have unbelievable orgasms. And, you know, as you can say, I don't drink. I'm not on any pills, any substances, nothing. I think because I'm a control freak and I do get migraines. So I was like, all right, you know, I got to do something. So, I mean, I got it. And it's like it came in a box, a little box. I sent the girls home from my office. I'm like, Joe, upstairs, let's go right now. I cleared the house, sent everybody out of the house. We used it. I was like, you marinate, like I said, like a chicken for 20 minutes.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, you know, there's just something about it. I don't know what it does. It intensifies the orgasm. There's something about it. Joe said it sent him back like 10 years. I don't want to be graphic. I mean, unbelievable. And, you know, so we really like this. So I just thought, you know, the girls, they could loosen up a little. You know, we were chatting that night. I didn't want them to think I was uptight. I don't drink. I don't do this. They were a little suspicious. And, you know, a few things that weren't mentioned that night was about, you know, I'm just going to say the masturbation. But, you know, so Danielle and I were very open. You know, you're with your girlfriend. You have to discuss a good product.
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, thank you for explaining it more to me.
No problem. Sephoria.
You mentioned that you were very open about everything. And that was something I noted about the first episode, too. You know, with your husband, here on your second husband, how you met, you just put it all out there. Have you always been so open about it?
Yeah, I think I might be a little TMI from, you know, a lot of people. But I feel like, you know what, this is what you know about me. Then it could open up if you want to talk about me. You have something to talk about. But it just puts it out there. I have nothing to hide about my personal relationships, my personal life. I have nothing, you know, I'm not ashamed of anything I've done. I always say I don't regret anything I've done. I only regret what I haven't done. So, you know, I was just like, hey, girls, this is me. This is, you know, so they don't have to be asking everybody else when I leave the room. So I just. I think that's the better way to be. Secrets cause problems.
Definitely. As we've seen on many Housewives shows.
Yeah, and I think just secrets in general aren't healthy for you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be ashamed of who you are.
Right. So you are really good friends with Danielle now.
Yes. Adore her.
You know Teresa now. Mm-hmm. They're friends now, which I think to fans everywhere is so crazy based on like first and second season. Can you tell me a little bit about their dynamic now and, like, what that's like?
Yeah, I just, you know what, from what I've viewed, they get along great. I think, you know, just from what I've observed and heard Teresa say, I can't, you know, speak for Teresa, but
right,
just from what
not.
I've observed, you know, Teresa did a lot of soul searching when she was away, and she said she felt like Danielle didn't get a fair chance, and she might have said some things that she wasn't happy with. Mm. So I think, you know, Teresa's a different person. And I think, you know, her and Danielle bonded and Danielle had reached out to her. And everybody, you know, is a little older, a little more grown up, a little more therapeutic. Mm. So they have, like, really bonded. They're both very into yoga. So their dynamic is amazing and their friendship is great. I adore Teresa. She was so open to me. I met her at a time when, you know, her mom passed away, which was so devastating. And she shared that and she was so open. So we bonded very quickly over that. And Danielle and I mean, because she was just getting back into this group of women and, you know, I was new meeting them. Her and I bonded instantly. We live close to each other. I'm super therapeutic. Say anything. She'll say anything. So we immediately hit it off. I know it's funny. She says, I didn't want to like you. But like we love each other and we actually spend a lot of time together. So it's great. So, you know, I formed some like really tight friendships. My husband gets along great with Joe Gorga. So they're like always talk. You know, they're both, I say, they're height challenge, little tight Italian packages. So they're close and I love Melissa. So, everybody really does have, you know, their own relationship with everybody. So it's really nice.
Can you give us any teasers about what will happen in the rest of the season?
a lot of crying, a lot of bonding. You'll see entrepreneurship, friendship, you know, mothering. You know, we sucked the life out of Milan.
I was going to say,
I don't know if we're allowed back into Italy. definitely. You'll see my 50th birthday party, which is amazing beyond belief. I'm going to have to say, I think it's one of the better Jersey parties. I'm not just saying that because it's my party. I'm going to be honest with you. It's super glam and crazy. A lot of fun. You see all of that. And you see, you know, you see women being strong and friendships being challenged and people. It's just a great season. I think we hit every freaking emotion that everybody could relate to. I mean,
right. Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, people really love the Housewives franchises overall. And I think they love Jersey because it relates to so many people's families.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Jersey resonates so much with fans because of this family aspect. And, like, it's one of the only shows that we have sister-in-laws. And, like, Joe is such a prominent part of the show. What is that like, having, like, real families all intertwined kind of on the show?
I think that brings a great dynamic to it because it does bring that family element. And Joe Gorga is, I mean, how could you not look at him? He's the cutest thing in America. And he's funny and he's manly but girly at the same time. You know, he loves to interact with the ladies. He's charming. Him and Melissa have an amazing relationship. So you get to see them with their kids. So I think it just adds a great dynamic to it. And yeah. then friends coming in and out and everybody's family on it. And mine's my extended family. And my mother's on it.
Oh, my God. I wanted to talk to you about your mother.
Marge Sr.
Woo. Oh, my God. So I feel like we just got a hint of her and she mm-hmm. seems like such a character.
When you get a load of Marge Sr. I mean, you get to see me going on a date with Marge Sr. So
yes!
that's really funny. And just says and does anything. The woman is missing a filter. She's like, she's Zsa Zsa Gabor. She wears high heels all the time. She's the ultimate glam queen. I mean, she drives a convertible with eyelashes on it. And she is really a lot of fun. And she works for me. And the two girls that work for me, Lexi and Janine, are amazing. And Janine brings her baby to work. And we run the office out of my house.
Aww.
So there's just so many different dynamics. I think the season's going to just be killer.
Ugh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being
here. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks so much.
Yes. Hey, everyone. It's Rachel. I just talked to Margaret, and I just want to say, number one, she's, like, a gorgeous woman. Like, she's very beautiful. And number two, the pigtails look amazing. Like, she's rocking them. Obviously, she knows she can. It's her signature. But it, like, looks like her. Like, you know sometimes when people wear something, and you're like, oh, that's the most you thing ever. It's like her soul is pigtails.
That's how I feel about your kerchief, Rachel.
Oh, thank you, Grace. I'm wearing a kerchief today, and Grace feels like I'm my most self. I was inspired by Margaret. I just from this like small taste of her that I got today, like, and the first episode, I'm just so excited about this season. I also had the opportunity to speak to Peggy and Deco this week. And, you know, listeners, we like to keep things light on our show, but things tend to get serious. As everyone knows, there's been a lot of confusion around her battle with cancer this season, and we kind of dug into that. And I know that this is a topic that we've seen a lot on Orange County for viewers over the past few years, but because she's one of several housewives on this season, we got a chance in this interview to go deeper. And they really opened up about their feelings about the other cast members, about what was happening, and just giving more context and light to all of that, which I found really interesting and touched me very deeply. Hey, everyone, it's Rachel, and I am here with Peggy from The Real Housewives of OC.
Hi, thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Oh, yes, thank you so much. I want to say that you're the first guest that ever offered me anything, which was an Altoid. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You want another one?
So we were just talking about you being on Watch What Happens Live tonight, and you were so excited.
I'm so excited. I love Andy. I've always loved Andy from the beginning. So it's an honor to finally get to meet him.
Yeah.
We can probably go have drinks together. I can see him as my best friend and just kicking it.
Yes, well, I hope so. So, yes, you're new to Housewives this season. Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
You mean a battle? no, I didn't. But I found out. I clearly found out, yeah.
So had you watched the show before?
The last season, because of all the things, my health issue was going on and my dad's, no, absolutely not. So I had no idea what had happened, what the dynamic was with the girls. And before that, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much fighting and drama and just monotonous things over and over again. It was just escalating and just continuing. And it was too much. I was like, okay, we're
right.
done.
Yeah, what was it like coming in? Because I feel like you kind of came in the middle of just this fray, this fight, you know?
Yeah, I did. I came into the middle, it seems like. And I get in. They do tell me that, you know, you don't know anything and don't put your 2 cents in there. But I'm not trying to. The only 2 cents I have for you is get over it and go on with your life. There's more important things in life, as in health. And you have to really pay attention to and really be forgiving for everything. So right. Does somebody have to be sick for you to say sorry? Is it too late? I mean, what kind of a heart do you have?
Right. At a certain point, it's, forgiveness is...
Exactly.
Deco just sat down with us. Hi, Deco.
Hi. How are you guys?
Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We were just talking about Peggy joining the show. Did you have any idea what she was getting into?
You know, honestly, no, because I never really watched the show before. And, I'd go into, late night. She'd be in bed watching it. So I'd get bits and pieces. So I didn't realize the magnitude of the drama. Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, I'm proud of her. She's having fun. She likes having, keeping her busy. She met a lot of new friends and she's having a good time. So
sure
I'm
not
happy for
the
her.
The drama we have at home, right?
You know, I mean, our drama at home is minimal compared to the drama you have with these new friends of yours. It's crazy.
Speaking of your kids, where did your daughter end up for school?
The older one's going to LMU, mm-hmm. and she's living there in a condo, 3 minutes away from school. And GNL has decided to go to FIDM because...
She chickened out, like I said, she was gonna...
Yeah, she chickened
They came out.
Out
here for the day, went shopping, visited schools,
went back home.
Came back. I knew she wasn't gonna do it. She backed out.
Asked her one question in the car, in the cab. And she's looking out. She knows mom's with her. She's got that safety blanket. And I asked her, I said, Gia. And I asked her on purpose because there's a reason I say things. And I turned around and I said, Gia, what are you going to do over the weekends? And she said, huh? There's weekends in New York by myself? And I said, yeah, what are you going to do over the weekends? You have a lot of home. She's like, oh, she got scared. I saw this fear in her face. And I said, but don't worry about it because I didn't want her to feel bad. But just put that in her head. Don't feel bad, I said. You have so much homework. You're going to be doing homework. But it just made her realize that maybe this isn't a good idea.
Right. She can't just go home on the weekend.
Our kids kind of have been sheltered, unfortunately. They have been sheltered. She was right when she said that, mm-hmm. we've been sheltering her. But not in a bad way. We shelter them in a positive way because we want them to be safe.
That's why I make them do laundry.
To be sheltered?
No, so they know when they're on their own. I had it all planned.
Oh, so that was a plan. It was practicing.
Yeah.
So for 18 years, you make them practice.
Laundry home. Did you notice? Because she knows how to do it.
Because the laundry is... right next to her bedroom, so it's convenient. It's just our house is big and she don't want to drag the stuff downstairs.
Probably. I agree.
So that was the whole game plan, right? So you made them practice all these years to do laundry so now they could do it.
Yeah, and they don't have
to. I thought
it
was just you being lazy and making them do the work.
No, it's part of the job of being a sneaky mom.
There was a plan.
That was the plan in action.
Honey,
that I did
that
not
comes
see.
Out of my mouth, there's a reason for it. Let me just tell you that.
Well, I feel like plan sometimes you've gotten in trouble this season for stuff that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, right.
No, they think so, not me.
Mm. Why do you think they think that?
They don't want to understand. Mm. They choose not to understand. They understand. They choose not to. There's a difference. Next question. I'm liking this.
Well, yeah. Do you feel like, what do you mean like by that? Do they not giving you a fair chance? Or do you think they're wrapped up in their own drama? Or
they don't want me to get involved and they're insulting me by my education, which I take pride in because I worked my ass off. Nor did I buy it or did I go to a university that's not even... that accepts everybody. You don't need to, when you're going to school, prominent school like that, university, that's very hard to get into. I think there's a little bit of animosity that comes with that and hatred and jealousy that they also want to get in. And I think that's where it's coming. Mm-hmm. I think I'm okay, though. I don't need to know all those slang words.
So I want to talk a little bit about you guys because I love seeing your relationship on the show. It's so fun. How did you guys meet?
She was chasing me.
Oh.
Yeah. She saw me driving and she was like following me around.
I pulled you
over. No, I'm just kidding.
Was that you, babe?
Yeah.
A mutual cousin that my mom set up. That lady set us up.
Oh, no
way.
We
were introduced through my mom and her cousin's wife.
Okay.
Kind of like thought, okay, these guys would, you know,
they would be off.
Perfect for each other. She's like from their family, and obviously my parents were like, okay, you're 27, 28, you got to get married, you know, stop messing around. So then they had seen Peggy several years back, and her spunk and her little feistiness, you know, that she has, she had it since she was a kid. So my mom saw that, okay, this girl has
that what Deco needs. Spunk,
that, you know, like that bitchiness, you know?
Ooh, that, your mom said that?
No. No, I probably added that in there. But, you know, so my mom actually asked me to give her a ride to a place, to some fashion show, which was an hour away. And my mom drives her own car. And I'm like, why is she asking me to take her? So when
And I felt it that day, that I'm going to meet this guy.
So when I took her, when I went to drop off my mom, supposedly to meet my sister, she was outside with her cousin and like a group of people. So just like that was like a casual introduction of me dropping my mom off and her being there and me asking like, who is that? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like that.
Oh. Of course you would ask.
So it's the best day of her life. I mean, my life.
You mean my life?
Of course.
You said it right.
That's adorable. And then how soon did you get married?
Too soon.
She kept calling me every day after that. No, we actually...
Not really.
No, like probably a year and a half.
Okay.
No, it was probably a year and a half to 2 years later we got married.
October 1, we got engaged.
Oh, so it's the second.
Oh, today's the first.
Yesterday was the first.
We got engaged.
Yeah, October 1st, we got engaged.
Did you get her a present?
For engagement?
Yeah.
I was the gift.
No push
I was
present,
her gift.
No engagement.
I don't get these push presents. Where do they come up with these things? You have a thousand
push
presents.
Girls just want diamonds. Yeah, you like my diamonds.
Yes, I definitely noticed. Then they're beautiful.
Bam. Hold on, let me fix it. It keeps flipping.
Is it fake, babe? It keeps
flipping. No, it's the way it is.
Yeah, no, they're gorgeous.
You have too much lotion on you. Don't blame the diamonds. Don't blame the rocks.
Honey, don't ever hesitate, diamonds. We'll take it.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about this season and just the experience about being a housewife. Like, what is it like watching and then hearing the interviews and people commenting? You're going back to, like, something that happened 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect me. Mm. You can't please everybody. You try your best. You can't please everybody. Everybody's going to have something to say about it, even if it's perfect. Understanding everybody's background is different. It's how they perceive to see things and how they're used to it. Totally understanding. I mean, as long as I'm not hurting the girls or in a way.
We don't know the gauge, but they said, you know, what were they saying? They were saying 50% if you're 50% positive, 50% negative, you're kind of okay, I guess. That's the bar.
And I've had more than 50. It's amazing. If there's one, I mean, I look at my Instagram. I read every comment, by the way. And I do, and I answer back. And the DMs, it's amazing outpour of people that have supported me through my help. And the things that they say, that there's all kinds of people that are with their health battle, their health issues. And they've given me strength, just like I've...
But you're also educating a lot of people of what you went through and how it is, and you're giving a lot of people strength.
I'm getting expanders next week. I'm having my double mastectomy next week, and I'm like, or I had it 3 months ago. How is it? I'm like, okay, I'm not a doctor. I can't give you that medical advice. Consult your doctor, but somewhat this is what I went through.
Right. Do you think that's like a positive thing that has come out of this, you being able to?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
people
great.
People are so happy. People are saying thank you, and thank you for putting it out there for us to see and to be relatable. We relate to you.
I mean, really, the first time we heard about this years and years ago was another Joel. What's her name?
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. You know, she talked. It was like some talk about it, but like very, very vague, right? There was really no information. But with Peggy, what she's done is she's put it out there. Mm-hmm. She's explained the thorough process. And thanks to Bravo, thanks to the Orange County Housewives show. I mean, I think this is very huge for everybody to realize exactly step by step. I mean, there's so many steps to the thing that happened within like a 60-day period, to be honest
Too
with
many.
You. That even like the other day, yesterday on the airplane here, we're talking about it. And you know, we're just chit-chatting in the airplane trying to figure out what happened first. And it happened so fast. And there's so many steps and so many decisions to be made. It's such a short period of time, especially when the cancer is growing. I mean, with Peggy's situation... from the original biopsy, where it was a precancerous cell. Mm-hmm. It was a precancerous cell, and I forget the terminology, and I hope I'm not saying the wrong words, but it was basically a cell that was one level below turning into cancer. So the precaution was, what we should do is we should just remove the mass, and that way at least we don't really take a chance. That was like the big decision making, or doing chemo or things like that to avoid radiation. It from growing, or radiation. So then her dad was sick with all these things going on.
He didn't
on.
Even know about it.
Within weeks of scheduling that, and I even asked the doctor, what is the percentage? Huh. Say we remove the mass. What is the percentage of having it turn to cancer?
Right.
She said 5 to 15% max.
I was up on the 42 percentile of getting cancer.
Oh, wow.
So when Angelina Jolie did the, sorry to interrupt you, but Angelina Jolie, the BRCA, I was even thinking about it before, doing the BRCA. But I didn't have the nerve to do it, the guts to do it, because this is something that I was always fearful of. And right. I didn't want to face it.
She didn't want to face the BRCA. But so the point of this is, despite what the BRCA shows, despite what it shows, and I got it, and her doctor told me, Deco, you can't put your head in the sand about the BRCA years ago. She told me that. And honestly, I was like, you know, let her keep doing the testing every year, because I think the BRCA is BS, you know? And sure enough, years later, she did the BRCA. She was negative. So technically, the way I see it, it's almost like a double-edged sword. So if you do the BRCA test and you're negative, you're like, okay, I don't have to worry about it. I'm clear. Well, here's a perfect example. My wife, Peggy, did the BRCA negative. But because she had it in her family, because she puts her mind to something, she's going to do it. She continued to do all that. So had she not, it would have spread. So my point from earlier was, from the 5 to 15% chance of when you remove that mass, within a matter of 4 to 6 weeks, that mass that they removed goes to pathology, gets tested. Mm-hmm. Out of a 20 millimeter mass, 3 millimeters was full cancer. So within that short period of time,
they're finding it.
So imagine.
So we have that answer and we had a negative at the same time.
Right. No, totally. My mother just went through cancer, and it is so complicated.
Right.
And so many answers are, we don't know yet. Or if this, then that. And then if this other thing, then this.
And it confuses the hell out of you, right?
Because you're hopeful, too, at the same time.
So that's what she went through on this show, too, with these women. You know, sorry to chime in. It's none of my business what the conversations they have. But, I mean, it's total bullshit to be interrogated like that, you know?
You were interrogated, too.
Me, too. Because
the wife couldn't get anything.
Because you're trying to figure out what really is going on, like what the steps are. And sometimes it's so overwhelming because so much happens so fast.
Right.
You're trying to think, okay, wait. Did we get diagnosed first? Did we, like, you kind of have to put the puzzle together at times, especially when it happens so fast and you're so emotional about it.
Of course.
It's difficult to talk about, and you get tongue twisted. Mm-hmm. And they're like badgering her
Just happened. It just happened.
Right.
After 6 weeks, I started filming, and doctor's like, I can't believe you're up. You're still, for a whole year, you're still like not normal. People like this go through depression. Divorce, because they lose their job.
They said depression because, you know, literally, it's almost like a man cutting his manhood off. You know, like her breasts are removed.
Because the nerves are all cut. So if you touch it, I don't feel anything.
You know what breaks my heart?
They don't know that. Nor do they care.
Right.
I remember one day, about a week after she did that, and it just crushes me to think about this. She was like really down on herself. And it was right after your dad's funeral. Or no, it was before. You have a scene in your... I can picture it right now.
Mm-hmm.
She just got out of the shower, and she was like really like upset. And she like opened up her robe, you know, and the expanders were like really flat, and she was just like crying, look at me. I mean, she felt like she was like a monster looking in the mirror at herself. She was like devastated, crying, like, what's going on? What happened? You know, I mean, for a woman to go through that is so difficult, and it's so encouraging that Peggy is out there telling people, being positive, like, you guys, everybody get tested. you know, although we're in October, but this is something we preach all year.
Right.
You know, it's like you've got to get tested. You've got to go out there. Don't take that test and think that you're fine. You have to continue to test yourself.
Right.
Do the MRIs. And unlike Angelina Jolie, you know, with Peggy, you get to experience the whole thing, you know,
right,
from start to finish and everything you go through with all the details. And that's what's great about the show, to be able to expose the step-by-step
right,
that she went through and the emotions.
So even with kind of the reaction you've gotten from your other housewives, there are no regrets in sharing your story.
I regret it.
You do?
They don't need to know. They don't deserve to know. I'm sorry.
Oh, you
they
can't say
it's
that.
It's hurtful.
Wait, because of them, you don't want the whole world
to
know
about it? No, for the whole world to know, but I don't feel...
Okay.
But me sharing it to them?
You know, she didn't get any compassion from them, so that's
support,
why.
Support, forget compassion. I'm not asking for compassion. I'm asking for support. I mean, you have... I mean, besides Lydia and Vicky, you know, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's going to strike anybody you know, God forbid. Is that when you're going to... Oh, you're going to forget about your problems and think about that now?
Mm-hmm.
You're a woman. If I'm being sympathetic to you towards what you're going through, which is nothing, which is petty. So what I'm going through is, you're going to understand it. God forbid, if something happens to you, it doesn't make sense. So I feel like they deserve to know, because I didn't deserve to be interrogated. I didn't deserve to be questioned, even when I was confused
like
about
lying.
It. Mm-hmm. I was confused because I was in total denial. And when they did ask me, I was thinking, with all that was going on, do I or do I not? Because I was in denial. And when they did ask me, I was like, I have to think about it. So if I think about it, I have to go deep down to think about what happened. And then realizing, hey, I did, but I don't want to say I did because I don't want to know that I did.
Mm-hmm.
It just, all the emotions come back out
right,
as you're telling the story.
And I was trying to hide
so
it.
She's trying to be as minimal as possible with her version, and you knowing, you know, with your mom, and I will pray that she'll be fine. It's tough to kind of like relive the whole thing
right,
all the time. And it's, and what I say about sympathy, you know, you kind of want that. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Peggy. I hope you're okay.
Support,
you know, saying it that way kind of puts your guard down and you get to share it, you know?
Totally. And I was going to say that that's probably why I feel like you and Vicky did connect, because she maybe was one person that we saw on the show.
Yes. From the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning. Absolutely.
And that's why she was able
and
to
Kelly
share.
And Kelly was standing next to her. So from there on, I knew the difference. Well, it is what it is. It doesn't matter if you're saying something about Vicky or Lydia. It's what I saw. It's what I experienced.
Right. No, completely. Well, thank you guys for being so open and honest. This was amazing.
My pleasure.
And thank you
so
for
vulnerable.
Having us.
And thank you for sharing your story. Like, not everyone would do that.
Thank you.
No, it's important for everybody to know what she's gone through. So that way, you know,
they're proactive
sad.
About their health. Mm-hmm. And they need to educate themselves.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So after that interview, me and Grace just kind of sat in our interview room and like cried for 10 minutes. it was just really beautiful, I want to say is the word, and really touching. And I want to thank Deco and Peggy for being so open and sharing their story, which is very important. And it was so nice to see in person how in love they are and how much they support each other and how, like, you read or you see or you, like, hear, you know, like, you're my person or, like, what you feel is what I feel, but I really feel like that with them. And it was just beautiful. So thank you, guys.
Okay, we need to talk about Dallas.
They're on a vacation too.
They are on a vacation in Mexico.
Yes.
So I feel like Cameron, we're starting to learn more about her this episode.
Yes, I feel like Cameron is finally like blossoming.
Yeah.
And we're seeing her.
Right.
For the flower that she is.
And that flower is a little reserved.
Yes, yes. She's a bashful flower. Like a morning glory. Only open sometimes of
right.
the day.
Wow.
Isn't just like showing off. We're going really in on this metaphor.
But I feel like it starts with her making that comment about Carrie Duber's swimsuit.
Oh, girl. It's skimpy. Yeah.
Okay, this moment and the rest of this episode made me realize I think this might be the most passive-aggressive cast.
That's very Texas.
Yes, which is, I was like, I think it's like a Southern thing. I think it's like a Texas thing. It's the bless your heart of it all.
Yeah.
Because all of them are constantly putting each other down, but not. Carrie, in particular, is excellent at it. They just say things to each other that, like, just little digs here and there. That, right. Like, but you can't really get mad because it's not really a dig. I just think it's this cast is the most of those moments.
Yeah, my favorite was Cameron saying to Carrie,
"That's cute for you."
I would feel like I'm naked in that, but that's so cute for you, you know?
Like, so good. Man.
I mean, it's not my style.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
I think we need to talk about the dildo in the purse.
Like, I love a prank, okay? Honestly, love. But I go more for a scare, okay? That to me is funny.
I mean, that was pretty scary. It's very big.
But I was so taken aback by the randomness of it, I guess. Like, to think up, oh, I know it'll be funny. I'm going to buy a dildo and hide it in her purse.
And then she's going to find it.
Like, I don't know. I'd be so embarrassed to pack it in my suitcase for fear of, like, TSA security going through my bag.
I thought it was harmless, but then it just got all taken so seriously and to, like, another level.
This is where I think Cameron took a misstep.
She
should have just been like, that's weird. And that's so random. Like, that's not funny.
Right.
Like, because at least then she's getting her point across. It's like, that's dumb. But without exaggerating it to be like, that's disgusting.
Oh, my God. Are you sad that this isn't pink?
No. That is so disgusting. No. That's not coming near me. No.
Brandy, this behavior is disgusting.
No.
You
no,
want it Brandy, to be pink?
No. I don't participate pink in this. This is like a level that I don't do. That is, do not touch me with that, Brandy. That is so disgusting. I'm serious. No.
Cameron does not know how to have fun.
But even if you are that offended, because some, like, it reminded me of so many times in Housewives history where people just, like, weren't down. Like, when Portia wouldn't go to the strip club with the other Atlanta ladies, and she got so much heat for it. Heather Dubrow had, like, I mean, she made it funny, but she had, like, the Lysol spray with the strippers.
Oh, right.
And Lydia just left. She left Mexico. So it's not, like, the first time we've seen someone be uncomfortable, but where I think it took a turn is Cameron always takes a situation and then makes it into, this is the kind of person you are. And
right.
This is the kind of person I am.
Like, boundaries. I just feel like I was raised a certain way. That type of stuff isn't appropriate in my mind.
I wasn't raised the same way.
Everyone,
I'm sorry.
No, and I'm not saying one way is better than the other. I'm just saying.
It's different.
And sometimes when people have, you know, different backgrounds, they grew up a different way.
For Cameron to say to Brandy, I wasn't raised that way, is pretty much saying you're low class and I'm not.
I'm just being honest.
Like, I was just going to say, the example you brought up with Portia is that it instantly makes the other wives feel like, okay, so we should feel bad too that we're going to a strip club?
Right. Like, why should I feel, like, if I'm okay with you not going, you should be okay with me going.
And so similarly with the dildo.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a better word.
I know. With the, well, they call it with chocolate fantasy. No, right. Sexual chocolate.
Sexual chocolate. That's just going to make me want chocolate. But anyway. And man, Brandy was really poking her, I thought.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, everything is so passive aggressive. Her saying, are you sure Cameron isn't going to be offended?
I know.
Cameron's,
I was like, very just offendable. Drop it, Brandy. You already chased her around the beach with it.
Right. Like, we get it. She's offended. You don't like that she's offended. But, like, and then, of course, it explodes again. And then again, Cameron takes it to, as a mother, how could you go to a strip club?
Right.
And you know everyone in Dallas thinks that you're trash, baby. Basically.
There's a level and there's a boundary of inappropriateness, and I feel like that was inappropriate.
I feel like, you know,
I mean, I'm not the, like, girl either that goes to strip clubs. I mean, I don't, you know, like, I know you guys go to strip clubs. As mothers, like, why would you go to a strip club?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
And by the way, I totally agreed with Stephanie. It was like, why are you lumping me in with her? Like, this isn't my fight. Why are you attacking me now?
And, like, once again, we know there's two housewives rules. Don't talk about the kids. Don't talk about the business. And don't go after someone as a mother. Anytime you bring that up, you're going to be in the wrong.
And I don't know if she knowingly did this, but bringing up the strip club that Brandy went to, I think that's the reason her children were kicked out of private school.
Brian and her had a big conversation about divorce because of it.
So, I mean, that is just a sensitive topic to throw in her face.
It, like, really affected her marriage. So, yeah, it's, like, very sensitive. And then I think we just have to go right to the cave dinner.
Yes. Man, Brandy, I don't know if she knew what she was doing or not, but to suggest, let's play a game, two truths and a lie, which started out very innocently.
But it didn't, because yet again, there was passive aggressiveness between Leanne and Carrie being like, do you know how to play a game? You have to wait.
Right,
I was just like,
right.
Oh my God, all of you people.
But with Brandy, her intentions were maybe pure, maybe she was stirring it up.
Right.
And then Carrie's like, you know what? I'm going to use my time a little differently.
I'm going to use my time in a different way. Because I feel like I need to talk to you, Leanne, about something.
Also, your time.
Yeah.
Like, you were claiming your time? It's on the floor, Congresswoman Carrie? Like, I was like, what are you saying?
It was weird.
Anyway, right. And then what does she say?
She says, Leanne, we need to talk.
Because I feel like I need to talk to you, Leanne, about something. I want to know the truth. Because Brandy told me some things that you said behind my back.
Which, okay, you're at a dinner with a bunch of other people, but sure. And because Brandy said some things, just told me some things about you.
And then my favorite part was Leanne looks at Brandy, and she points at her with, like, what'd you do? Like, it's so good.
Oh, it is so good.
But then I think that Leanne, like, somehow very well deflected that. Like, she was like, but what brought me to that point, Brandy?
What got me to the point that upset me that I said that?
Yeah, but
immediately.
And also is not denying that she has some crazy in her. And
right,
it's like,
right.
I wish it had been the first time I threatened to kill someone.
I know. I wish I hadn't threatened people a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I wish you were the only I wish you were the only person that I threatened to kill.
But, you know, here we are. But then immediately it gets into Brandy versus Carrie.
Brandy is the one who called me and told me that Leanne's threatening to kill me, that she's spreading rumors about all of us. I mean, she got me all amped up to go into the fight and then bailed on me and ran.
Yes.
And it's crazy.
But Carrie kind of explained, Brandy was getting me riled up for this argument, and now she's bailing. And
right.
I think it made her go into defense mode against Brandy.
Right. I think she was like, really? Is this what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
And that just, like, took her to another level. But I get why Brandy was like, I'm not going to lie either, though, and say you didn't say that to me or that I didn't say these things to Leanne. It's like Brandy is friends with both of them and just telling them both stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not great.
Tricky.
It's tricky.
I can't wait till next week.
I know. I just can't believe how much Carrie is just like, I absolutely did not say that. You are a liar. You're lying. And when Brandy goes, do you really think I would make something like that up? And Carrie's just like, yeah, I think you would.
100%. I mean, you 100% made that up. Made that up.
It's just like, oh my God.
Right.
It's kind of reminded me of the Roni trip in Mexico, when Bethany's like, let it all out. Oh, the truth comes out now.
Yeah.
I know.
So you're someone special?
So what is it tonight?
You with the skinny girl today?
Here we
and
go.
And they're so
comes
great?
Out, comes out.
Yeah, whatever.
There it goes, yeah.
Whatever, Bethany. You're mean.
No, you're mean. You came
you're
to me.
You're mean, bitch.
It's like, wow, you too? You have these harbored feelings about me?
Thank you for being a skinny girl.
It's just scary when you know that there's a suitcase of people feel about you that when they get drunk, they're just going to bust out and tell you. Now it comes out.
It kind of reminded me of that, like,
right.
All these women, what they really think about each other is, like,
and let's also remember,
up.
They were two shots in at this point.
Right. Oh, I know. And Carrie, what I loved in this episode is you really saw how much tequila affected her. After, like, two shots, she'd be like, anyway, what's going on,
right.
Guys? And I'd be like, oh, Carrie. But, yeah, I think it's only going to get better.
Better for us. Probably worse for them.
Yeah, that's exactly what Carrie said when she was asked about the Mexican trip. She was like, it was like the Titanic, but, you know, you'll all like it.
And we do. We have to talk about the egg challenge.
Have you ever put an egg in your vagina?
No. And just for anyone who missed it, Brandy is talking about, like, kind of along the lines of bringing the dildo, how, like, she loves coming up with these weird, wacky things. And she was once on a girls' trip where...
To Vegas. It always comes back to Vegas.
Where whoever could keep an egg in their vagina the longest without it breaking got their vacation paid for by the rest of the ladies.
A couple years ago, I did a trip to Vegas with Stephanie with a group of girls. We'll put it in there and we'll see what she thinks. And we thought it would be really funny to... We all put an egg in our vagina. All right, do you want to go try some tequila? And the last person to keep their egg in, they got their whole trip paid for.
And according to Brandy, Stephanie Holman won.
Right.
But Stephanie claims to have never been a part of the egg
challenge. Not only claims it, she's like, I swear on, like, Jesus and my kids.
But hand to God on my children, I was not there for the egg incident.
Right. So I asked in their blogs this week, which one of you is lying and who won the egg challenge?
I have to say, I'm hoping Brandy is joking about the whole thing. That seems crazy.
To me, it seems unsanitary.
Right.
Because it's an egg, the way you get salmonella is
salmonella,
the outside.
Yes.
Not the inside.
See, and I would be a bad friend. I would just be like, no. I would be the Cameron of that group. I'd be like, no. Like, we'll get poisoned.
Right. So, like, if you're ever, like, squirming in your seat, I'll be like, Megan.
I have one in me right now.
One of those yoni eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then we saw that on Atlanta this year, too.
Yep.
It's a trend.
But please don't use real eggs.
Yeah, I just salmonella. I think we've covered everything we can.
Yeah,
it's time for the Real Housewives of Dallas.
It's time for Rose and Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out to everyone that tweeted Rose and Thorne.
I know, it was so exciting this week to hear all your guys' roses and thorns.
Amazing.
And just stuff that we missed.
Yeah.
My rose this week is Stephanie and Brandy being best friends again in the bubbles. No one has ever done that for me.
I can't even see. Crawl in. Some tip water kit for you.
Taking a big bubble bath.
Yeah, set it up. I haven't ever walked into a situation where there was like, and look at this, like Aiden. When she was like, I think he's taking it in the bathroom. I'm sorry. I know this is your thing that you hate. And then Aiden made her a bath.
Yes, that was sweet. But then he was like, no, just for you.
Right.
But then got in. But then didn't have sex with her.
No.
My rose was Teresa. When they were at the breakfast where Danielle shows up for the first time, Teresa goes, oh, I'll have a mimosas.
You're welcome.
You know what? I'll have a mimosas.
Teresa, love you. Glad you're back on TV.
I know.
Missed you.
I really did. When she was like watching this episode and just seeing her smiling face in interview, I was just so happy that she's back in my life. And mimosas, like Texas. She sent me the texts.
Yeah, exactly. My thorn this week was David Bedore, I have to say. Because in OC, we have Shannon and David sitting down to Easter dinner.
With her mom there.
Yeah, her mom there. And Shannon says, she's telling a funny story about how when she was first driving, she accidentally drove into an antique, a gas station thing. Mm-hmm. And unrelated, like, didn't even make sense. But David was like, oh, it must be hard taking the silver spoon out of your mouth.
That's what happens when you don't take the silver spoon out of your mouth.
I was like, what does this have to do with her being a bad driver when she was 16?
It was, and it's such a dig. Like, even though he was like, no, I meant to be funny. It was more like, this is something that you clearly resent about her.
Right.
And it's coming out right now. And also, disrespectful to say it in front of the woman who did give her everything. You know what I mean?
Right. The whole thing, I just felt like, don't do this.
Right.
I clearly, there's tension between the two, like Shannon even says in the episode. And that when she said, I miss the man who used to look at me with, like, adoration.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's not the time or the place. Don't, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, it was just hard to watch. My thorn this week was when Carrie retold the rumor about Rich.
Leanne's like, oh, Rich is...
No.
Well, you didn't have him not to say.
I heard he has the world's smallest penis. Isn't that sad? It's embarrassing.
Oh, my God. Rich has a small penis, and Mark gets his dick sucked at the roundup. I am not getting involved in this.
Oh, the small penis. Just because you feel like that's so crossing the line.
Yeah, I just felt like, man, you know, because, like, you know, we've kind of talked about this before. In Housewives world, things can be said, but it's when you're saying it on camera is when it gets crossed. It's like the whole, were you doing coke in the bathroom? Or, you know.
It's also one of those rumors that, like, this poor guy, how would he even dispel it if it weren't true? You know right. What I mean? Like, right.
Like, did you have to say that? Again, yeah. Did you have to?
Yeah.
It's not the time or the place. But this is before Carrie even finds out about the roundup.
Oof.
Which is going to happen. Not that that's happening before she finds out that Leanne said it is what I mean, to be clear.
We want to hear your roses and thorns. Tweet us at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish, hashtag RoseAndThorn.
Yes. And tell us what we missed that you loved.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me at Rachie Robb. And you can find this podcast anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
I mean, you found it. You're listening to it. So
right.
You did it.
But like, if someone else is like, but where do I listen to it? What you can tell them is anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Right.
So, yeah, do that. Tell people.
Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.